You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Good morning, Tuscaloosa, Internet World, West Alabama. How are we doing today on a Thursday? It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. You guys are hanging out with us on the Bama Central YouTube channel. You're hanging out with us on the Bama Central Facebook page or my own social media machines at JoeGaither6 on Twitter. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We've had a lot of fun this week, and we're going to keep it going. We had fun with Slade Bolden on Tuesday. We had fun with Kirk McNair yesterday on Wednesday's program. And today we're going to be joined by former Alabama wide receiver Mac Hereford, Alabama and Vanderbilt wide receiver. We'll mute your microphone. I got you. You're good. Vanderbilt wide receiver. So we're going to talk a lot of Alabama football with Mac Hereford here in just a minute. We're going to take a voicemail from Everett Osmer. I know Everett left us a voicemail in the tank. You can leave us a voicemail if you want to be a part of the program just by calling 205-462-7340, extension 800. We're going to talk just a little bit of Georgia. If we have a little time towards the end, we're going to talk about the Georgia Bulldogs and what they are bringing to the table. I've watched both of their games, their first two games over the last couple of days. I'm going to be watching Georgia-Tennessee here in the next day or so. But we are going to have a lot of fun today. We're hanging out in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much he can save you today on your home, your life, your auto insurance needs, your renter's insurance needs, like he's got on the sign up front, life insurance, a better plan than a GoFundMe. So call him today. Red is sitting upstairs waiting to take your call. 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much he can save you today. Before we welcome in our man Mac Hereford, you can find Mason Woods. We're joined by Mason Woods, as always, across the room. You can find Mason Woods at MAWoods_ on the Twitter machine. Good morning, Mason, how we doing?
I'm doing good this morning. Doing good. Ready to get into it. Ready to talk about some Alabama football.
Some Vanderbilt football.
That's what I really want to talk about. it's much more important that Mac Hereford played for our Vanderbilt Commodores.
The Doors anchor down. Goodness gracious. Watch out. They're taking it to South Carolina. They got Georgia State this week.
And they'll be bringing it to you.
Revenge game against Georgia State. Then they got somebody else, somebody bad as well. And then they're coming to Tuscaloosa. So we're going to have a lot of fun talking all Utah kinds of State. Football. Utah State. Okay, go Aggies right there with our man, Mac Hereford. Follow Mac Hereford at Mac_Hereford on the Twitter machine. You can check out his podcast at Bama Podcast. He's hanging out with Josh McMillan pretty frequently. And they're talking all kinds of college football, Alabama related and more. Good morning, Mac. How we doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Oh, excited. Very excited. We're filling up the bye week, and really, I thought to myself, man, I think Mac would be great to have on the bye week. So I really appreciate you giving us some of your time today and really starting your morning with us. I'm sure you have a very busy day ahead of you.
I do. Look, I'm excited to be here, and I'm pumped to talk some football. Joe, I also like the shades. This is a new thing. This is the shades. What is this? Are you getting too big time? You got
it? No. Well, maybe. The girlfriend in what? Late spring? Was that about it? I was up. She lives in Nashville, and I was up there, and she was like, I don't think I'm going to use these. I don't think I'm going to throw these away. And I said, no, I want them. And I've been wearing them ever since, and I feel like it's given me a little bit of cover in the brain to say whatever I want to. And I feel like it's also, you know, when I've gone out since then, I've seen, are you? And so it's given just a little bit of recognition. And so I'm like, okay, I'll keep wearing them so that when I get, like, tomorrow night, I'll be going to Hillcrest for Hillcrest Hewitt Trussville. And this is not to toot my own horn. Somebody's going to say, oh, I saw you at the Hillcrest game. And I'll bet, yes, you did. So that's why we've been wearing them.
Prime time Joe, baby. Prime time Joe.
We're trying to take a step forward, trying to get into the Mac Hereford realm. Cheap gimmicks to raise the profile of the program. So whatever works, really. I have the girlfriend to thank for this. And she goes, I never thought those sunglasses would get this much run. I said, well, don't give me a gift if you don't want me to use it.
I love it.
Let's start with some football. Obviously, Alabama 2-1. As an Alabama football player, let's just start right with week one. It was so much noise. The program's dead. It's all gone. The players don't care. Losing to Florida State. What was your reaction watching Alabama and Florida State and really the week after? Obviously, good response, and we'll get into that in a minute. But really, that first week where Alabama goes to Tallahassee, doesn't really play very well. What was your response to seeing that performance?
Yeah, I hear a little bit of apologize if there's any background noise or some this dryer going on in the background or washer, what's going on. But my thoughts on week one, you know, we come out there, everyone's expecting us to at least get a W. Heck, I had us to cover the spread. You know, I'm a sports betting man. I wanted to hammer Alabama. I was like, okay, this is awesome. Home opener, first game of the season at Florida State. During the game, you know, we start off with a great first drive, and then things look a little bit shaky the whole rest of the game. The number one thing that stood out to me as a former player that I didn't love to see, that I think a lot of guys can agree on, is the mentality of the team. You know, the effort, the energy, the discipline. We lacked all of it. Too many penalties. I didn't want to look. We could look at every other little thing, but it didn't matter as much as that to me. Then you go on to the receivers. Ryan Williams didn't look as good as he usually does. They're trying him in a new position in the slot. So it's like, okay, that makes a little bit of sense. Following that game, I was like, I guess a lot of people were ready to jump ship and a lot of people were freaking out. My thing was, look, number one, Florida State could very well be a great football team. You know, that was one of the things that came to my mind is like, I think we undervalued them. And I think the whole entire country has. With NIL, football isn't the same. They're playing a ton of transfers on both sides of the ball that, you know, they can basically pay for this new team. It's a completely different team than the year before. And so that was one of the things I thought is like, look, we're going to stay calm here. You know, we didn't want to lose this game. There's bringing up all these statistics about how we've never lost a game to heavily this favored against opponent in a season opener. And then, you know, the defense seemed to be all in a funk, not in sync together. So after game one, I was a little bit like, all right, I had a little bit of this, you know, this doesn't look like the Alabama football that I'm used to, that I remember playing with a group of guys, but I'm going to give it some time because there's so many other factors, you know, and it's only DeBoer's second season. Bringing in a new set of guys, a new culture, trying to get you guys to adapt to that. So game one, I wasn't happy that we lost, obviously. I was very upset, and there was a lot of things that I saw that I didn't love. But over time, I was excited to see that a lot of those things that I just mentioned have been improved in the last two games.
Yeah, and that's kind of exactly where I wanted to go, those last two games. The response from this Alabama team seemingly has been, you know, the complete opposite of kind of what we saw in the Florida State game. You've seen guys really giving that extra effort, guys playing, you know, like their heads are on fire on defense. Guys are running around, guys are flying around, just swarming to the ball. The offense is moving the ball well. Ty has looked better. Being someone who played at Alabama, you know, I'm sure that it's a little difficult to maybe get up for a game like ULM sometimes. Like, obviously, it was maybe a little easier when you're coming off a loss. But even then, knowing that, you know, we're Alabama, they're ULM, how do you necessarily get into that mindset of, you know, we got to go out here and handle business because we know that if we don't, we might not necessarily lose, but it's still not going to be great for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we talked to some of my other former teammates the other day about this, is there's going to be noise. And as much as you don't want to hear, as much as you may say you don't hear it, you hear the noise. But it's about what you do with that noise. And the guys have done this year a great job. That first game, obviously, a slap in the face. You look at Ty Simpson, you know, he had some issues game one. Not maybe – it's 11 people in offense and defense, so I'm not going to blame anything just on him. I'm a huge Ty guy. But you have Ty Simpson, who people are saying, oh, he didn't do this well, he didn't do this well. Well, he comes out two games in a row, and especially when you're talking about ULM, the thing is these guys listened to what everyone was saying, and they knew that, hey, we've got to go kick some – we got to go kick some ass out here against ULM. And I think guys were pretty fed up. Guys were pretty upset. You know, you saw Tim Keenan doing the whole thing, firing up DeBoer. You know, that's the shit that I love as a former player. And that's what, you know, those guys have to do it. Like the state of the program, the fandom, those fans have all been spoiled, but everyone's upset with the effort and the mentality. And that's something that can easily be corrected. And so I love that going into ULM, that they took that and went and made a statement. And again, so Ty Simpson comes back, has two statement games. You look at Ryan Williams. I don't know if I'm jumping too far forward, but Ryan Williams, listen to the noise. A lot of people were dogging Ryan Williams. He comes out there and absolutely balls out. Jeremy Bernard, since game one, was what I was thinking is the guy. You know, he looks electric. He's the guy to go to on fourth and one. I'm going to Jeremy Bernard. You know, he has that Bama mentality that we talk about. Defensively, you know, you look at Bray Hubbard, comes back, gets his opportunity, makes a statement in this last game against Wisconsin. Looks, you know, incredible out there. He's flying around. We had multiple sacks in Wisconsin. Now they don't have the best offensive line in the country, but that was something we wanted to see. And now they've done that. So all in all, just not even just ULM, but both the games past Florida State. Again, like I said, you can hear the noise. It's going to be there. And it's, what do you do with that noise? These guys have listened to it and used it to fuel them to absolutely come out there and kick some ass. Hopefully it continues, because these are ULM's not the biggest and best opponent. Wisconsin was missing their starting quarterback, who's a powerful, you know, QB. And their offensive line defense is not as great as most teams right now. So I can't say these were the best looks and that we're just back to just straight Alabama kicking ass football, but it's a start. And they show the things that I think a lot of fans were upset with. We're corrected and we're changed.
We're hanging out with Mac Hereford, former Alabama wide receiver, on the Joe Gaither Show. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Mac_Hereford. Mac, let's go back to what your initial comments were about Ryan Williams, obviously playing in the slot in the first game. As a wide receiver, what's the difference between you're playing X on the outside to you're playing in the slot? And everybody's, oh, Ryan, not afraid to go over the middle. Oh, alligator arms, whatever. What is the difference that people don't know about playing on the outside to the slot? And how do you think how do you think Ryan did, and why do you think that was a move the coaches tried in the first game? And he did a little bit of that against the Wisconsin as well, but really kind of moving him around. What's your kind of overall thoughts just staying there on Ryan Williams in the slot?
Yeah, first thing I'll say is, I mean, when you got a guy like Jeremy Bernard, when the whole receiver core in general has looked great, you know, finally, it is looking like they are in sync. All to say that moving a guy like Ryan Williams to the slot, when you're on the outside, you've got the deep routes, you got the post, you've got the verts, you've got, you know, decent size end routes, comebacks, whatever it may be. You've got a certain set of routes that you can run from the outside. At the slot receiver, that opens up. You have a lot more options. And when I say options, not only does it have like actual options, but there's option routes. There's routes that receivers, a star player, a good player can utilize to get open, you know? And so I think it just opens, it gives Ryan Williams a bigger toolbox and the routes that he can run and the way that they can incorporate him in the passing game. And specifically when we're talking about going across the middle, that is a sign, or that is a thing that the slot receiver will do more. They will be in the middle more. And so, you know, and people saying that about his arms or whatnot, it's just, I can't say, you know, because a lot of people ask, what is it? And I got asked last weekend, like, why are these guys dropping? You know, none of us can really say without being that guy or that guy telling them why these guys are dropping. But there could be a variety of different reasons. And I'm just expressing this because I saw it on there and I want to clear it up. But there's multiple ways. You know, you have a lack of focus. You have eye discipline. You have the ball delivery. You know, how is the football coming in? Lack of confidence. There's fear. There's all these different things. Anticipation was one of the ones that I struggled with at some points. Was like, I would sit there and feel like it was taking 20 minutes for the ball to get to me. And so I'm like, holy shit. And then you got people focused on taking the ball and running it, you know, upfield. I think Ryan's going to be able to handle that. I think he's had a lot of pressure. I know we talk about him being, you know, 17 last year, 18 years old. These are kids still, you know? And so the pressure is a lot, and that could be a factor, but none of us will actually know the exact reason unless we were Ryan Williams himself. But I could see that being a difference is that, yes, he is running through the middle a lot more, and there's a lot more traffic in there. I remember, like, I was like, when I got an in route, I'd be like, oh, I know I'm getting, you know, someone's going to come in there and give me a lick. But I've got to be ready for that and prepared for that. And I think just reps, you know, he's needs more time in the slot to be able to develop at that position. It's a different position than the outside. And he's got more opportunity in my eyes there. And then it also opens up for these other guys to get involved as well. And, you know, like I said, the receiver core looks great to me from Wisconsin. I hope they can carry that along. We had so many guys involved. You know, we had Horton, we have Brooks, the freshman, looks awesome. Ryan looked amazing, made a big statement. Jeremy Bernard is just the guy who has like the mentality to me, just kind of leads that receiver core in that sense. And, you know, but I rambled a little bit because I was excited to see all the stuff, but Ryan Williams in the slot, it makes a big difference because of the routes that he's able to run, what it does to the offense, and how it opens him up as a player and allows him to do more things.
I only asked you about a 7-part question, so you're all good there. Staying right there, do you think that this is an important step for Ryan Williams' career as far as getting the NFL and just making the most of who he is as a player? Do you think that this is an important part of, hey, man, this is your progression. You got to learn to play the slot. Yeah, you'll be outside some, but we want to be able to go everywhere throughout the offense.
Oh, it's huge. You know, our coaches used to tell us all the time, and you can look and see it. I have a buddy who, shout out to my boy Alex Bachman, plays for the Raiders, a guy who's just been grinding to stay on teams on the active roster for the Raiders right now. The reason why is, yeah, he's a good receiver, but I think if you asked Alex, he wouldn't say he's the best receiver in the world. He's able to play special teams. He's able to play other positions. So when you look at, and Josh Gattis, one of my receiver coaches, always told us, like, you have a toolbox as a receiver. The more you can add to that toolbox, the better. And so for him as a player, not only just personally and personal development of learning to play the slot, of learning to play and knowing how to play outside, it adds tools to his toolbox, but also in for his personal career. But looking forward to like the NFL, those are things that teams look at. Can this guy play the slot? Yes. Can he play the outside? Yes. So he has an ability to run double the routes that he ran before. And he's got the ability to learn, like in the slot, like I said, there's option routes. So you can read the defense. So your football knowledge and IQ is going up, which is great. And then it just expands to what you are as a player. So Ryan, like, again, if he comes out there and he looked awesome last game, if he continues to learn that position, he's got two positions he knows now. That's a threat. That's a weapon that Alabama can use in more ways than just having him on the outside. Now they can move him outside. They can put him inside. They can switch it up. So as a player in his development, it is awesome for him and will only help him for the future, but also for the program and the university, it allows us to have an even bigger threat than we had before.
I want to stick with the offense just for one more question, maybe, and then we can maybe get to the other side of the ball at some point. But you know, the offense is what pays all the bills. The offense is what's fun. So I want to ask about the run game, because seemingly, you know, through the first three games, you know, obviously we can maybe look at Florida State as a bit of a different light than the last two, because it was a loss. They didn't play exactly to the Bama standard, so on and so forth. But even since then, they've struggled a bit to get the run game going. I really just want to ask, from your perspective, what do you see as maybe the issues with the run game? What have you seen? Is it a blocking scheme? Is it a blocking thing? Is it an actual scheme issue that you've seen out there? Or, you know, how could you diagnose it?
Well, we're obviously got our starting running back at the beginning of the season, which is a tough challenge. And I think with that comes, you know, we had a guy that we thought was going to be the number one guy. So now you're trying to establish identity of who is that next number one running back. Now, thankfully and gratefully for Alabama fans, that guy is Kevin Riley. He looks awesome. And I think, though, at the beginning of the season, it's a multiple factors. One, it could be the offensive line. You know, when I look at it, I'm like, okay, the offensive line, they create the holes. Now, are they really pushing and making those holes even bigger? If you look at some of the old Alabama, you know, teams, and when we had a great run game, those guys aren't just putting hat on a hat. They're driving those guys' asses back. I haven't seen that as much as I've wanted to from the offensive line. But to your point, Mason, could that be a scheme issue? Could that be a play calling issue? Because could that have guys, is it putting guys in the best position to be able to make their blocks? And that's another question I have. So I can't say one thing or the other right now, but I would say it could be a combination, or just over time we'll be able to see what that is. But I could say that, you know, one thing is definitely the identity and finding the next guy that we have right now, which I believe is Kevin Riley. He looks awesome. He looks electric. Reminds me a little bit of Josh Jacobs, who played with me back in that 2016 and 2019 era, just in the sense that he's a threat in the run game. He's also a threat at receiver and catching that football. But yeah, it could be a scheme issue, definitely. And also just that offensive line, not only getting a hat on a hat, but driving those guys back so that there's a bigger hole for the running back to, you know, really break out and make a big run. But otherwise, I'm looking forward to seeing Kevin Riley some more, because he looks great. And then, you know, excited to get back Jam Miller when he comes back as well. He's coming back for Georgia, correct?
Yes. By all reports, by all indications, seems like that.
Hey, and that, it, look, now as Bama fans, Bama community, we've gotten to see that we already have a great guy ready. And now we're going to put our starting guy back in. So I'm very hopeful for the run game for the Tide.
We're hanging out with Mac Hereford. You can follow him at Mac_Hereford. Check out his show, The M3 Show, Matthew Travis, Mac Hereford, and Josh McMillan talking about Alabama sports and more. Mac, y'all didn't lose a whole lot of games during your time here at the Capstone, but you did lose an Iron Bowl going into the 2017 playoffs. It would have been January of 2018 or so. And so I want to ask you about dealing with noise, because from my just outside perspective, week one, the noise was about as loud as I can remember it. Oh, you guys stink. It's blah, blah, blah. Just all, you know what I'm talking about. The noise was so loud. How did you deal with the noise of, oh, you lost the Iron Bowl, blah, 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 you're not any good and shouldn't be in the playoff, XYZ? What, was that the highest point that noise got for you when you were in the program, or was there another loss or another moment where the noise got even greater? And really, how does a player deal with the noise, shut it out, and really get back to work and do what they're supposed to do?
Yeah, I would say that there was a finite amount of times we had to necessarily deal with the noise outside of the program. Now, inside, Coach Saban always had something to say whether we won or lost, we did something we could do better. But when you talk about that specific example, you know, speaking for me personally as a guy who didn't contribute as much on the field as I would like to, and was really a practice, like a scout team player, I took pride. And when I heard that kind of stuff, it only made me want to encourage my teammates more and only added gas to the fire. Again, everyone's going to hear the noise. I think, especially during those years, the noise, if I was like, you know, I would wish that people and more noise would come, because the guys in our locker room, you know, it just encouraged them even more. And, you know, when we talk about specifically like kind of fun, cool things that I know I've probably mentioned on here before, but is when people would say things like, they didn't just say them and we didn't just like hear them. We would have them posted in the goddamn locker room. Like, we would be talking about it all week, each and everything anyone said. And I also think a loss, it felt weird during those four seasons. It was bizarre. Like, you weren't used to it. When it happened, you were like, what even just happened? And I think that feeling, no one wanted that feeling. So forget the noise. No one liked the feeling of losing. No one knew what it even felt like. We were all like, what the hell is this? So it just drove us to the next week after, or the weeks following, to turn it up even more. Guys did a great job of letting that just amplify the music. You know, we kept going and it turned up the volume a lot more. So during the time that, you know, I played at Bama with the group of guys, those guys, especially the starters, the guys that were contributing on Saturday, really did a good job handling it. And I think the guys this year have done a good job as well. And I think it's almost beneficial and impactful to the rest of the season when it does happen.
Last one for us, because I know you're running out of time and getting to the rest of your day. I really appreciate you hanging out with us today, Mac. Let's spin it to your buddy, Mac Jones, getting on the field. Brock Purdy, we don't want anybody to get hurt. We don't want anybody to get hurt ever. But suffered an injury. It sounds like he may or may not come back, so we might have another week of Mac Jones. What you make of Mac Jones? He went, 26 of 39, 279, three touchdowns, and most importantly, one against the New Orleans Saints, 26-21 this past Sunday.
Mac motherfucking Jones, baby. He did it. He went out there and did his thing. I am one of the biggest Mac Jones supporters, and not just in the NFL. I will never forget my time with him in Alabama when he first came in. I love the hype. We had the little Mac-to-Mac thing going. You know, I've called for a variety of different quarterbacks over my years, not just inside the Alabama football facilities, but outside of that, you know, different guys who played pro. And I've been able to look and see, what does this guy have? What does this guy have? And Mac Jones is one of the most impressive that I've ever thrown with. His football IQ is incredible. His charisma is unmatched. The way he's able to play the game with excitement and make it fun for everybody else, it takes it back to what football is all about. You know, just getting out there and balling out, playing your game. So seeing Mac get his opportunity to play out there was electric. I remember texting him before the week. I was like, let's freaking go. Let's do this thing, man. Like, this is your chance. This is what you've been waiting for. Because in New England with the Patriots, he didn't really have the right tools, in my opinion, to really make things happen. You know, he was not put in the situation that Mac Jones needs to be put in. And he did the best he could with that situation. But I really want to see him get that swagger back that we saw when he took Alabama, won the national championship, and was up for the Heisman with Devontae Smith that season. Like, you could get a taste and you saw what Mac Jones is all about. You know, he's an electric quarterback. And then you hear guys like Bosa after the game, they're talking to him. They're like, what do you think about this backup quarterback, Mac Jones? He's like, it's fun when you got a guy who's that exciting, who's that electric. And that speaks to who Mac is. He's stayed the same through college to into the NFL. You know, if I want to give a people behind the scenes of Mac Jones, he works harder than almost anyone I know. He is locked in. He is focused. He has freaking nighttime things where he has to have the lights off in his house. Like, it's some sort of prison there. He turns off the lights at a certain time. He eats certain things. He has that Brady-like mindset. But something that Brady didn't have that Mac Jones has is that kind of fun part about him too, that entertaining, that exciting. He's a gamer. He wants to really compete, and he has that love of the game. And you can see it in the way he throws and the way he plays the sport of football. So I was super freaking excited when I saw the same guy, Mac Jones, who's riding around with me freshman year, handing out Krispy Kreme donuts to random people on the street. I'm seeing that translate. Now he's balling out on the field with the 49ers, and I hope to continue to see him get more opportunities because this is only driving up his stock. And I've told people time and time again, I've had his back and been like, he is going to be that guy. Like, trust me. And they'd pull up XYZ quarterback and say, who do you think this guy's good? And I said, I would take Mac Jones over him. And they're like, you're crazy. What are you saying? And I'm like, look, you don't know Mac Jones. He is him. And when he gets that opportunity, he's going to go ball out. So personally, I'm super excited for him. And it was awesome to see him against the 49ers. He looked great, came in, had to kind of ease into it a little bit. But when he got there, he gets a W against the Saints. And, you know, I couldn't be happier as a former teammate and a friend of his, and just think he's going to continue to do well, and excited because I think that's a good spot for him to be.
Shoot, any quarterback in a Kyle Shanahan offense, you're living right there. So I'm glad to see him having a successful week. Then, you know, obviously don't wish any injury for Brock Purdy, but I would love to see Mac Jones continue.
It's looking like he'll get to play this Sunday, just from this report I'm seeing on Twitter, and it's a little clip of Brock Purdy, and he's moving around a little gingerly. Okay. You know, I would imagine they may want to just throw Mac out there again.
All right, Mac Jones again on Sunday. We can't wait.
Mac Jones. And a side note, I can pull up receipts. I told people, I said, so I didn't just say it. I wasn't just saying it every year. I have a big fantasy football league that I'm in. It's an important league, and my starting quarterback was Brock Purdy. I would have picked up, if Mac Jones was a starting quarterback, I would have taken him first. I would have as my quarterback in the game. But if we look at my fantasy football, let's see if I can pull up. Dang it, I don't even know if I can pull up last week, but I have him on here this week. Mac Jones, starting quarterback. I picked him up last week, put him on my fantasy team, and what does he do for me? He gets me 20 dang points.
Exploding.
That's what I like to see. I put my neck on the line for him, and he shows up and he does it.
Mac Hereford putting his money where his mouth is, and you can follow Mac Hereford as he continues to give you these great insights and analysis at Mac_Hereford on the Twitter machine, on the Instagram machine. Follow them at the M3 show with Matthew Travis and Josh McMillan as well, talking Alabama sports all over the podcast sphere. Mac, thank you so much for your time, man. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Hey, Joe, Mason, I appreciate coming on. Y'all got me fired up on this Thursday morning. I'm ready to rock and roll, ready to see the Tide go through this bye week, hopefully with some steam, carry on to Georgia and get that W against the Dogs. Looking forward to the rest of the season. Hopefully I can come back on at some point and talk a little bit longer, but appreciate y'all giving me the time today, and, you know, honored to be on. So appreciate y'all. Thank y'all. Mason, love the hat as well. Sick. Let's go Titans up. But Cam, you guys have a great rest of this Thursday. And Roll Tide, and looking forward to chatting again sometime.
Absolutely, Mac. The honor was ours. Roll Tide. Have a great day, man. Let's take a quick break. We appreciate Mac Hereford. And wow, like, honestly, I brainstormed him on Sunday. I said, I think a great bye week would be Slade Bolden, would be Kirk McNair, and we would be Mac Hereford. We're not even doing a show tomorrow. We're done. The week is over. I'm just in cloud nine, really, the way it all pulled out. So thank God for
that. He's got me really thinking about picking up Mac Jones for my fantasy team this week. Because Jaden Daniels is questionable right now. He's guaranteed to not practice today. We'll be practicing Friday. So I will make my full determination tomorrow, but I picked up Drake May last night. Thought favorable matchup against a really bad Dolphins team. Maybe I go with the Drake May, Kayshon Booty stack, but I don't know. He's maybe swaying me into this Mac Jones camp a little bit.
I mean, if there's any,
they're playing the Cardinals.
If there's any coordinator, he's not a coordinator. If there's any, there's any play caller a quarterback wants to get paired with, like Mac, the Mac Jones Kyle Shanahan marriage.
It's been brewing for you. I mean, this is. We should have asked him if they'd ever even talked about it during that like draft cycle leading up to it, because that was kind of the narrative of, you know, oh, Kyle Shanahan loves Mac Jones, but the organization wants them to draft
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance, yes.
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that.
You know, now Kyle Shanahan finally gets his guy and says, look at you, John Lynch. You know, you look foolish up there, whatever.
66% completion, average 7.2 yards per throw, which is pretty good. Look. Three touchdowns, no interceptions, almost 300 yards.
It's a dang good game. You said it. You know, Kyle Shanahan, you pay, you know, those guys, Kyle Shanahan, you know, Sean McVay is another one. Matt LaFleur, unfortunately.
He's a genius.
Yeah, it's just those guys, you know, any quarterback that wants to find any bit of success in the NFL, if you get paired up with those guys, you got a pretty good chance of doing it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's take a small break right here so that we can load a voicemail from Everett Osmer. We'll get his take on the day. You guys can call the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We want to tell you that this program is brought to you by Derek Daniel, State Farm Insurance. We had a lot of fun with Mac Hereford right then and there. Call Derek Daniel for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there for all your home, life, auto insurance needs, renter's insurance needs, boater's insurance needs. A really boring gift for your significant other, and it really would be for you, would be life insurance. Give him a call. Call Red today at 205-758-3391. Get you some life insurance. Then go home and tell the spouse, look, this is how much I care about you. This is how much I care about the kids. I got us life insurance. Like, look, we don't want to think about the worst case scenario, but that's what insurance is for, the worst case scenario. I'm going to take care of the family by making sure that we have proper life insurance. Call them today at 205-758-3391.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
All right, Mason, I got a few thoughts on the Georgia Bulldogs, but let's see if I can not load this voicemail in here correctly. I know I saved it while Mac was talking. Let's see, Everett voicemail on Wednesday. Yeah, this is Everett calling the voicemail line. Let's see what he has to say. You guys can call the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800.
This is Everett from Marion, Roll Tide, of course. Mason, please stop telling us that Vanderbilt is this league's team. And the question is, other than Vanderbilt, who do y'all see is beating for the rest of the season? And thank you. Well played.
Thank you, Everett. Who do you see Alabama? We'll take it both directions. We'll look at the whole schedule. Who's going to struggle?
Here, so that's perfect.
You know, Vanderbilt, we're in agreement. That's going to be a struggle for us.
Sure.
Who's Alabama going to smoke? You know, ULM, Wisconsin, Alabama smokes them. Mm-hmm. And who is going to be kind of that 50-50 coin toss?
Well, we'll start with Georgia, I guess.
Ooh, struggle bus.
That's going to be a star. Yeah, I mean, that's a coin toss game, I think. Pretty firmly a coin toss game. That can go either way. I'm probably leaning towards Georgia solely for the fact that it's a road game for Alabama, and they've not shown us they can play well on the road yet. But it's a coin toss. Vanderbilt at home, I will take Alabama in this one. It's going to be a hard-fought, probably pretty close game. I think Vanderbilt keeps it within, I was going to say 10, but yeah, sure. It wouldn't shock me. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a, like, you know, last-second field goal to win or anything. You know, Alabama probably wins it with some time to spare in the game, but I think it'll be very hard. Missouri's going to be tough.
I think it's going to be tough. You're going on the road. They got a great backfield.
That's where I'm at too. It's just, you know, they got a quarterback that can move a little bit. I could die. 11 a.m. up there at Faro Field, you know, I don't love it.
You know,
I don't
Eli's going to be just nyan all week to his team too. They're going to be motivated. Keep going.
Yeah. I don't love that one. Tennessee, same thing. I don't love it. I don't think they're coming into Bryant Denny to win that game, but I think it's going to be, you know, a close one. I'll probably take Alabama by the hair on their chin. And
four.
That one. Yeah. South Carolina, I think you win that game handily. I'm not very concerned with the South Carolina team after the
no toughness.
Yeah, they have no mental toughness. That team is weak. They showed that all against Vanderbilt. As soon as the going stopped going their way, they took their ball and went home.
What are the chances? What are the chances that by the time Alabama is playing South Carolina, Shane Beamer has taken the Virginia Tech job?
I don't know. I've seen people saying that. Like, I think he'd be really dumb to do that.
I'm going to revive my daddy's program. Like,
I think he'd be so stupid to do that because you're leaving the SEC, first off. bingo. That's like blanket concrete wall. Don't leave the SEC for the ACC. Unless you're going from like Kentucky to Virginia. I don't even know if I'd do that, to be honest with you. But second, the moment that Shane Beamer shows up in Blacksburg, Virginia, every Virginia Tech fan immediately says to themselves, all right, well, we're back to being a top 25 team every year. We're fine. We're great. Frank Beamer's here. Frank's back. We're going to be competing in bowl games. Virginia Tech's bad right now, and it's going to take a long time to get that program back to where they need to be.
Horrific.
And like, he will not do it in a year's time. He will probably not do it in 3, 4, 5 years' time. Like, it will take a pretty, you know, they're going to have to give him a long, long leash there in Blacksburg, and they probably do it, sure, because of the legacy. But I don't think Shane Beamer wants to deal with that. I think he's built his own nice little community there in South Carolina. They like him there now. Depending on how this season goes, they might not like him very, very much. But I think he'd be foolish to leave that job.
You got a bye week after that, right?
Yeah, bye week, then LSU. You beat an LSU. I'm not. That just LSU team doesn't scare me.
No, not if their offense doesn't improve. It's
so awful. You get 5 turnovers and score 20 points.
And one of them was a pick six.
Brian Kelly, why can't you run the ball? What's wrong with your run game?
We won the game. We won the game. I don't know what you're asking, Mason Woods. We won the game.
I listened to some podcast yesterday, and it was Andy Staples, you know, the well-known college football writer that we all read, talking about that interaction and, you know, kind of not taking the side of Brian Kelly, but, you know, saying the reporter was a little in the wrong for coming at him so aggressively with the first question of that press conference. And, like, maybe, but Brian – The bad guy in this is Brian Kelly.
Yes.
He has to. LSU can't run the ball. It's blatantly obvious. We've watched it for 2 weeks now, 3 weeks now. It's not good offense. So why is it bad, Brian? Because it seems to be a consistent theme with you.
Because I love their running back. I love Caden Durham.
Yeah. He was going to be really good this year.
Yeah. And I don't know if LSU does their press conferences scrum style or not, but what happens at Alabama is they come in, and this is no criticism about Alabama. This is just procedure. They come in and they say, okay, Coach Saban, Coach DeBoer is going to open with the statement. We'll take questions after. Raise your hands. And everyone raises their hands, and he writes them down, and he's calling on them. And yes, there is a hierarchy of, hey, you've been here the longest, or hey, we trust you the most, or there's a small hierarchy, but it's not major. If my question is a tough question and the sports information director calls on me first, I'm not pivoting off my question to throw a softball.
No, it is what it is. Like, coach, you signed up for this.
Right. I'm not just
we shouldn't be coddling coaches in press conference and trying to ease them into things.
I got the last press question this past week. And look, my question going into the press conference was about running the football. You gave 15 running back carries, 45 yards. Not very good. What are you satisfied with that? Is it the offensive line? Is it the running back room? What's your thoughts on that, coach? And he handled it very well. He was, you know, if those are the numbers that you're giving me, yeah, that's not very good. We need to get better, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. Like, I had the – but if I were called on first, I mean, we all raise our hands at the same time.
Yeah.
It's fine. We all raise our hands at the same time. If I were called on first, I would have still asked the question. And
that's just not the setting where you have the time to be like, let me ease into the hard questions.
Yes.
But it's not an interview. It's not a, you know, it's not a sit down. We're not sitting for 45 minutes and having a conversation. It's you get one question and he gives you like a 2-minute answer. So you better get that question out and you better make sure it's concise. And that's exactly what
all Brian Kelly.
Yeah, it's exactly. I'm exactly in agreement with you. No, I think Alabama handles business against LSU. I'm not scared by that football team. They just don't really concern me that much.
Oklahoma.
Defense looks impressive, but offense is bad. Oklahoma scares me. Oklahoma worries me. John Mateer is electrifying. Now, I've seen a lot of, you know, myself included, I think he's very good, and I was hyping him up on yesterday's show even a little bit. I've seen some Heisman hype being thrown out there for John Mateer. I do think we maybe need to pump the brakes just a touch. He's not really separated himself from any of the other good SEC quarterbacks yet, I don't think. I think Taylen Green's been awesome. Marcel Reed's been awesome. Ty Simpson's been awesome. I mean, you know, there's 5, 6, 7 guys in the SEC that I think can all be in that category. So, that game still scares me, though. I'm hopeful for the revenge factor playing into it, and that Alabama really is not going to get beat on their own turf by a team that beat them last year, but we will have to see.
Eastern Illinois, tough matchup.
That they might score 85 points that game, especially if they lose to Oklahoma.
It would be Ty Simpson and Ryan Williams. Boom, Jeremy Bernard. Boom, missile shots.
They're probably not beating the program record for points. I think it's like 119 or something, but they might get that number two spot.
We gonna flirt with it.
Auburn.
Yikes.
I don't know what to make of this Auburn team. I think we'll find out a lot this weekend. Mm-hmm. I think we'll learn a lot about them this weekend because as up to this point, I've been moderately impressed, I guess. Yeah. They've looked better than I anticipated them looking. I still don't think they're that good, but they have looked better than I thought they would look. They've looked more competent than I anticipated, I guess I'll say. You know, they look more like a more put together football team than I thought they would.
Not a tough game on that schedule, Everett.
Yeah, seven of the remaining games are against top 25 opponents, which that's their top 25 right now. That's subject to change, but
lots of tough games, Everett, and it's not just the Vanderbilt Commodores.
No, but is that the toughest one outside of Georgia?
Isn't that? Didn't Katie write that for the cover today? Let me. Now that we're moved on. Yeah, Katie, perfect.
Look at that. Great minds think
alike. Oh, my gosh. Katie Windham, BamaCentral.com. Follow it. Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. Her cover this morning, ranking the toughest of Alabama's remaining schedule. Where does Katie go here? Number one. Oh, she did it in reverse order? Yeah. She did it in reverse order. I may have to text her about this because it seems a little bit from easiest to most challenging. Okay, so she does make it clear. Number one, Eastern Illinois, easiest. Number two, at South Carolina is her easiest SEC game left. Number three, easiest is at Missouri. I guess these are building in challenge. She put Vanderbilt fourth.
Disrespect. I think she's giving a little too much love to our friends down in Baton Rouge.
Tennessee, Oklahoma, LSU, and then Auburn. Auburn is her toughest game remaining. Georgia, ninth. No, Auburn
that's
is her
a given,
second,
though.
Yeah, Georgia, duh. But you know, Katie from Montgomery, she doesn't want to hear any of the noise from her Auburn fans.
I am going down to Jordan-Hare. That's an impossible place to play. You know, I got to give Auburn credit where credit is due. That is an electrifying environment. It is a very, very intimidating place if you're the road team.
By the time Alabama ends up playing at Auburn, this defense is either going to be absolute masters at stopping mobile quarterbacks because there's so many of them on this schedule.
I mean, yeah,
and so Jackson Arnold, sorry, buddy, you're bleeped. Or it's going to be so obvious that they can't stop mobile quarterbacks, which last year started to be that way, that Jackson Arnold's just going to run for 300 yards.
Yeah, I mean, you got three out of your next four games against mobile quarterbacks. And then
Gunner Auburn can move.
That's what I'm saying. Gunner, Diego, and Pribula.
Lenoris can move a little.
Yep, Lenoris can move. And then Auburn.
John Mateer, he's got a little wit.
A little bit.
But he's more throwing the ball.
You see the tweet that it went, a little bit viral. I saw it pop up my feed a few times from various folks commenting on it. The guy getting mad about John Mateer doing like a jump Derek Jeter pass to complete. It was like, this is what's wrong with quarterbacks these days. Too much cool guy quarterbacking. Like, man, I want my quarterback to do cool guy things.
Like throwing it across his body.
Bingo.
70 yards.
I mean, even Ty. You know, I watched it was someone on the video team for Alabama posted some of their shots from the game, and it was a video of Ty, running it in and then looking over, waiting, ref throws, and got me fired up. Like, you love to see that kind of stuff from your quarterback. I want a cool guy quarterback.
Mason, let's finish this program up with something that happened online yesterday because we are trying to get warmed up for this Alabama and Georgia game next week. They teach history class in school, right?
They do. Do I know what we're talking about?
You will.
I probably do. Yes. I spend a lot of time on the internet, but
I sent it to you yesterday, and you went, what? If you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat. And I bet you Kirby Smart is not a happy man. If you didn't see it because you don't live perpetually online like we do, the Georgia Bulldog fan base, not the team, not the administration.
Has that been made clear yet that the team will not be wearing black uniforms? Because I haven't seen an official tweet.
It hasn't been made clear, but I'm making a rear end of myself by assuming. The way that it all read to me was the Georgia fan base / the Georgia student section / you know, the outside Georgia people are calling, let's black out the stadium. Let's black out Sanford Stadium. Now, I don't even think Kirby's ever blacked out his team. I think that
they've done the black jerseys before.
Kirby has, yeah. Under Kirby. Mm-hmm. Cause I know it was Georgia, Alabama. It was
they did
Georgia,
them in like 21, I think, maybe
okay.
22.
Okay. All right. Well,
and I think they've worn them kind of periodically throughout since then.
Unbelievable.
You remember they had the cool ones that had like they looked like a dog collar. They had the little spikes. There was a cool little alternate they did for like a one-off. Let's see. Here we go. As of 2020, here we go. Here's what. Okay. They might be doing black jerseys.
There's no way. You're foolish.
This is from April of 2025 from our friends over at Georgia Bulldogs.
In the 2020 season, they did.
Yep.
Against Mississippi State, they beat Mississippi State 31-24. Against Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl, January of 2021, they beat Cincinnati 24-21.
Okay. They are bringing the black jerseys back this year. It does not look like it's for the Alabama game. It's for some game in November that is yet to be determined. It would appear the UGA football equipment
probably an Auburn
account posted the uniform, the black jersey, silver pants, red helmet, you know, and everything there. And then with November blank 2025 and just said back in black.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. So they got versus Florida. They are at Mississippi State. Oh, it's Texas is when they're doing
it. Oh, no. This is...
Is that a parody account?
No, but it's why did this even get written? It is an April Fool's joke that they posted, and then someone wrote an article about it. And at the very bottom of the article, this should be noted: this is an April Fool's. Why would you write this? I'm angry now
because you're just desperate at that point.
It's April. This spring football's happening. You shouldn't be desperate for content.
Some people are. I don't think they're.
There's no way they do.
Do not think that the Georgia Bulldogs are wearing black uniforms, but it seemed like the fan base yesterday was calling for let's all wear black in Sanford Stadium next Saturday. And I just got to say, that's a very bad idea.
Not smart. Not a good idea.
Do you remember the blackout? Because you would have been 3 years, you would have been sophomore in high school somewhere there.
What year was it?
08, September of 08.
Yeah, I was in fourth grade.
Dang, I always think you're 3 years behind me, but you're really like almost 10.
I vaguely remember it, yes, but not. I mean, that was right. I was watching football, but it was. I don't think I was really watching it close enough to recognize that. Oh, they did like a blackout.
Unironically, or maybe majorly ironically, that date for that game was September 27th, 2008. You know, we're playing the Georgia Bulldogs on September 27th, 2025.
It would be like they're not going to do it because of what happened in that game, obviously.
And Kirby's not a gimmick guy.
But man, it'd be so cool. It'd be so cool. Just the storylines. What, you know, if that had been, say that had been so many years ago, a Georgia has the chance to win that game and they shank a field goal or something. And it's they've sat on it and stewed for almost 20 years now. And now here we are. September 27th again, back in Georgia, back in Athens. We're busting out the black uniforms.
That would be so terrible.
You know how hyped those players would be?
Too hyped.
Maybe, but like I think
they'd
we
be, they'd
I
be
don't
up
think
for the first three plays, it would be like Georgia boom boom boom, yeah. And then it'd be like
I mean, yeah, as soon as the air gets let it, you know, as soon as Julio Jones over the top, it's over. But that ooh, that'd be a motivator. I think we are underselling a little bit how much those kinds of things play into kids being motivated. You know, these are 17 to 22 years, 18 to 22 year olds out there.
Did you see the Florida's coach getting suspended for 3 games?
Yes, I did. Slapping that kid in the face, didn't he?
Yeah, it was really hard to see in that scrum. But
yeah, I had to watch that video 50 times at least to finally catch it.
Somebody zoomed in on it and he just right
just
like
real quick gave him a little
makes me think of the last time that Alabama went to Georgia. Georgia gets over in their faces and it was a big pregame yeah. And then Alabama Derrick Henry runs right over them.
Yeah, that was 15.
Yeah, 15.
Good times.
Which is nuts. You should not be going 10 years between going.
No,
two
that is crazy.
Conference opponents. I know cross conference, cross division, XYZ, blah, blah, blah. But like I think that you are on a better path scheduling, but you need to. If I stay in my school for 4 years or 5 years with my red shirt, I should see every stadium in my conference.
I agree.
All right, so last thing we're going to go with, because actually today the players are the bye week's over. The bye week is done. The players are back in action today. They got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, and today they're back at practice. So we're going over at 11:30 to talk to some select players.
How do you think they, you know, with the extra days of practice to prepare for the one game like that? You know, you have what now, 8 days or 9 days, I guess, instead of. Or yeah, so 8 days instead of your normal, you know, whatever preparation schedule looks like. Do you think that it's just normal operation, basically? We're just doing a practice this day like we would do any other day, basically? Or do you think that they split this? Today we're focusing on Gunnar Stockton's run ability. Today we're looking at, you know, that's always intrigued me.
Today I think that they are cleaning up. They're basically reviewing concepts from the last 3 weeks that they've messed up.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And I think they're probably even doing that tomorrow. And I'm
sending Ryan Williams out there to the jug machine.
Right. No, I mean, yes. I think that they are cleaning up concepts that they've messed up offensively and defensively over the last 3 weeks, today and tomorrow. And I think they're sprinkling specific Georgia stuff in, but not majorly. And yeah. I think that Sunday's practice is really going to be regular game week practice. But today, you get rest through the first 3 days, first 3 days of the week.
A lot of rest.
And then the last... maybe too much. And then today and tomorrow, I think that they are cleaning up all kinds of mistakes, procedural issues. What I think it is I think Kapilovich has got them looking at the run game track and quit tripping over each other. Quit tripping over each other. Quit getting out in front of your pads.
I think it's just a chemistry thing.
Stay on your feet. Oh.
Now that the getting out and over your feet kind of thing is an issue. That's a footwork issue that we have definitely seen with a couple of these guys. I've definitely seen with Wilkin Formby specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Dewberry. But I think that the tripping over each other and things maybe just will come with reps. I think that's maybe a chemistry thing. Yeah, I imagine. I mean, we talked about it. I don't know what day it was earlier this week, but how much rotating that was happening throughout the last several months for this offensive line. I don't know that they've had an opportunity to really get comfortable with one another with any certain five up there.
Right. And Billy, you have to drive off the ball, because if you don't drive off the ball, then Charlie has to run the hump around you. And Charlie's not really
your job.
Charlie's not athletic enough to get around you and stay on the course and block his man. And so drive off the foot. Where's your pad level? Where's your pad level?
That's like there's a pad level pandemic, epidemic. I don't know what word you want to use. Because, you know, being a recruiting writer, I watch a lot of high school kids, watch a lot of huddle. Now, very few offensive linemen are posting their huddle tapes because
when will Sam Mutu come to campus?
Yeah, I don't know. He's got an okay pad level.
He's some of the clips I see sitting in his rear end. He's ready to go.
He did a pretty good job. But yeah, some of these kids, man. They've been too big for too long. They've been too strong. They've been stronger than everyone else for too long. You know, they've played against kids that aren't. So they just get used to being, I don't have to get low. I can just bully this kid because I'm bigger and stronger. And then you get to the next level and it's like, oh, watch out, buddy. These kids are all bigger and stronger now. It's a bit of an issue, seemingly. Now, Michael Carroll looks pretty good, but
offensive line play driving me crazy.
There truly is a just like, amongst football as a whole, there is a lack of good offensive linemen, you know, from the end, from the top down.
Yes.
There is, you know, nobody wants to do the ugly work. Nobody wants to, you know, we got to pay these offensive linemen better so that kids grow up wanting to be centers and guards and tackles.
Just absolutely drives me crazy watching the line just, well, we're going to stalemate you at the line because nobody's playing with good pad level. We're all just sumo wrestling.
Yeah, it's just, and then all the skill guys figure out what to do from there.
Oh, drives me nuts.
Where were we even going? I don't even remember now.
We started off by saying the boys are back at practice today.
Yes.
And what I wanted to finish with was the first two Georgia games that I watched. Mm-hmm. You can give Kane Womack a magic wand and erase one aspect. And I misspelled Oscar Delp's name on the on my poll, but it got too late, so I'm just leaving it up there. You can erase one aspect of the Georgia offense. Are you erasing Zachariah Branch, the USC transfer? Nate Frazier, big-time running back, fast guy, very agile.
Good player.
Oscar Delp, tight end. or is it Gunnar Stockton's legs?
Bingo. What has been the issue for 10 years with Alabama's defense? A quarterback that can run the ball effectively. You put Gunnar Stockton in concrete back there, and this team tees off on him. I feel fine. Yeah, that's the one thing I would absolutely take away.
I'm looking forward to watching Georgia-Tennessee because I did watch the last 10 minutes of it as a fan last Saturday. I got home from the game from Alabama-Wisconsin at a good time. I watched the last 10 minutes, and really, I was just watching it like, drama, drama, drama.
Yeah, that
I
was,
wasn't watching it for, like, breakdown.
Yeah, and that game was kind of weird because, at least from what I remember, it was, like, two quick scores from each team, and then it was a lot of... And then it was like the last bit of, you know, basically the last quarter of the game was just pure fireworks. Both teams realized, oh, we need to score. We need to score. We need to score. And it just went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So it was, you know, Gunnar Stockton, I think, has gotten a lot of love off of that fourth quarter performance, but he's not really received maybe the proper criticism for the first and second and third quarter.
Well, the first two games that I watched, I got to say, I was not overly impressed with Georgia's offensive line, and I was not overly impressed with Gunnar Stockton's passing ability. Now, I got to give a lot of credit to Mike Bobo, because in that second game, it was split screen, screen, screen. It was four-yard hitch and just get the ball out.
Get the ball into your playmakers?
Right, exactly. And they got playmakers. They got a lot of playmakers. And
this is the first time that I can remember for a little bit that they have real, like, genuine playmakers at almost every position outside of, you know, just tight end or just running back.
Yeah, throw the ball out to number one and just get one block and let Zachariah Branch fly down the field. So, like, they got a lot of playmakers. I'm trying to reserve judgment for Gunnar Stockton because I want to watch the whole Tennessee game. Yeah. And because he obviously did make that 4th-and-15 throw.
Oh, that throw was awesome.
And Tennessee, you know, if you are following X's and O's, Tennessee stays in man most of the game. And, okay, maybe that makes it easier on Stockton. I'm not real sure. I think that Kane Womack, I think that that's the right answer, keeping Gunnar Stockton's legs in check. Because Bobo, the first 2 weeks, let him run a lot of speed option, a lot of quarterback read option. And then it was a lot of the stuff that we saw from Ty Simpson the first week of, oh, my first read's there, pulling it down, I'm going to run for 6 yards. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of that. So I think Gunnar Stockton's legs are the right answer.
I think we also have to remember, too, that, like, he's just a guy who's getting more comfortable with every game he plays.
Yes.
Like, you know, he's not a polished player. He is figuring it out as he goes. So he could make strides. He is making strides week
to
week.
That's why I want to see that Tennessee
game. Yeah.
Right. I can't wait to watch the whole Tennessee game today because I'm going to kind of curate my whole perspective and opinion on Gunnar Stockton. Right now, my opinion of Gunnar is gamer is good enough, definitely good enough to beat Alabama, but is he an X factor? Is he a superstar quarterback? I'm not sure.
Do you think George is worried at all watching Carson Beck down there at Miami? Thinking, did we make the right choice here?
Well, I think that choice was already going to be made because I think they were all breaking.
Probably.
I think they were all breaking up.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, you see a girlfriend and y'all break up.
Yes, it went a lot farther than hotter. The X's and O's, I think, with that situation. Sure.
You break up with your girlfriend. Oh, she got hotter. You know what? She was miserable to live with. It's okay. And we were all miserable together. It's okay. I think that situation was crumbling no matter what. I see elite player in Zach Branch. I see an elite player in Nate Frazier. I see okay offensive line play. You got a lot of injuries in that second game, so that's why I'm looking forward to seeing this third game. I know Tennessee got after him in the pass rush. So, Womack, are you going to be able to get your guys to get after him? I think that really what I see is a very versatile Georgia offense and a very, you know, we can get after you and we're going to mix things up. I love Mike Bobo. I know people hate him. I know Georgia fans hate him. I think that Mike Bobo is a top five offensive coordinator in college football. If our job opened up, if our job was vacant and Alabama hired Mike Bobo, I would be happy. I would be very happy because I think he understands his players' personnel's strengths. I think he understands his players' weaknesses. And I think he really, really understands a way the defense will attack them and has great counters. I think he has pretty good feel for a game. So I'm a fan of Mike Bobo. I wasn't overly impressed. This is just the two games against Marshall and Austin Peay. I wasn't overly impressed with Georgia's defense.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to ask you next, was that, you know, you haven't watched it yet, like you said, fully, but that's what is interesting to me about that Tennessee game, is was it just two stellar offenses or two bad defenses?
So Ty Simpson, you ready to put this game on your shoulders? Match Gunnar Stockton score for score.
Possibly.
I think it's going to be a fun time next week in Athens. So we've had a lot of fun this week. We will have a show tomorrow. I was being facetious about not having a show. I just felt so good about these middle three shows with Slade Bolden, with Kirk McNair, and with Matt Hereford. I appreciate all three of those men giving us some of their time this week, as I know it's always very, very busy in the fall. We'll try to get Katie Windham on tomorrow. We missed her last Friday. We'll try to get her back on tomorrow. We'll ask her about these tough games, why Auburn is the second toughest game on her schedule, when it should be Vanderbilt or Tennessee or Missouri. Or
I mean, it's not a bad pick.
Like, no, it's not.
At Auburn is hard, especially at that point in the season.
I don't believe in voodoo. I hear that all the time, but I don't believe in voodoo.
Well, I mean, I don't believe in voodoo either, but I believe that it's been brought up enough to where every player on that team is thinking about it when they go into, you know, Jordan-Hare Stadium, and then because they're thinking about it, it's the, you know, what is it? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's, you know, you think about it, so it happens.
Here again, and I don't remember why I came. Voodoo, voodoo. No, you don't.
I know the song.
Okay, yeah. All right, just checking. I think it's going to be a lot of fun next week, and so we need to get out of here. We're going to go talk to the players over at the Malmore Athletic Facility. You can find it on the Bama Central YouTube channel. We'll probably have 4 to 7 to 3 players available to us, and we'll ask them about how their bye week did. How many movies did they watch? What movies did they watch? Where did they go out to eat? We'll ask them all the frou-frou questions.
I'm one day, some college team on a bye week is going to give us a New York Giants boat picture with all of the players posted up
on Lake Tuscaloosa.
It's going to be, I'm glad we did not get it this week. I'll say that. That's some right. Team somewhere will do it.
And the fan base will love it right here on Bama Central. This has been a lot of fun this week. We're going to have more fun tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.